Olivia is 4 years old and one of the more talkative preschoolers in a classroom at the Chambliss Center.
What do you do here?
I just play.
What do you like to play?
With Mr. Potato Head.
Toys like Mr. Potato Head are sitting on a shelf, along with Legos and wooden blocks and plastic bins. Stuffed animals are piled near a bookshelf, but there's more to do today than just play with toys. There are lessons to be learned. Marquell is another preschooler in the classroom, and the teacher asks him to spell his name.
Spell your name.
M-A-R-Q-U-E-L-L.
The Chambliss Center provides early childhood education. They serve around 300 kids at this location and many more at other sites they manage. Today, Olivia and the other preschoolers are focusing on one letter of the alphabet.
The letter R.
Leslie Berryhill, a spokesperson for Chambliss, tells me the state of Tennessee has given the center a 3-star rating, which is the highest measure of quality. And the services provided here aren't too expensive. Most of these children come from families living at or below the poverty level. Chambliss is a nonprofit serving low-income, working parents who need a place to drop off their kids.
We do all of our childcare on a sliding fee scale, so it's at prices parents can afford at times that they need it to work.
Berryhill says the average cost at Chambliss is $55 a week, which is considerably less than some other places.
A normal average child care center is probably around $200 a week. Now, on the third floor, which we can walk up there in a minute if y'all want to.
Berryhill gives me a tour of Chambliss. The main building is from 1939. New additions and playgrounds have been built over the years. The campus is 17 acres.
But we've got a dance studio, an art studio, a computer lab, a library, and that kind of thing. We'll walk out.
We walk down a hallway in the main building, past an odd-looking staircase. What's odd is the height of the railings. The rails are way down low, at a comfortable height for children to grab, rather than adults.
The little tiny steps and the little short handrails, you can see the building was built for children.
Berryhill takes me past an ice machine rattling in the spring humidity. We enter what looks like a living room. It's dark and it's quiet. There are couches, recliners, and an open space where cots can be brought out.
This is our night dismissal area. This is the area that, at the end of the normal day, whenever everybody typically would get off work, go home, this is where the children are brought who are here at the after-hours times.
Chambliss offers round-the-clock child care. They were actually the first in Tennessee to be licensed for it.
And so some kids are here through the night. Just depends on the parent's schedule and what kind of job that they're doing.
How long have you been here?
43 years.
How did you get started?
Well, I started out at the juvenile court.
This is Phil Acord, the CEO. He says 43 years ago, he was frustrated working in the juvenile court.
Because, you know, you got to spend 15 minutes with a person on probation to you every 2 weeks. Didn't feel like I could make a difference there. And was complaining to someone, and they said, well, there's an opening out at the children's home. I hear they're looking for an associate director to eventually become the executive director. And Mrs. Bunn, Edna Bunn, who hired me, said I was the youngest and the least experienced, and she has no idea why she hired me, but she did. And that was November the 11th, 1971.
What's kept you here this long?
I think because I make a difference here. You know, we're working with low-income families. We're educating their children. We're trying to break the cycle of poverty.
Chambliss works in partnership with the federal Head Start program, which helps preschoolers prepare for kindergarten. That kind of early educational advantage can result in a lifelong boost for kids from low-income families. Chambliss is one of the oldest charitable organizations in Chattanooga. It began in 1872 when a group of women started an orphanage. Early on, it was known as the Vine Street Orphans Home. Then in 1939, they moved to this building in Brainerd. As they've grown and changed, they've responded to new needs in Chattanooga. For example, a decade ago, when Dr. Jesse Register was in charge of local schools, he sought help from Chambliss.
You know, the other thing we're doing that's kind of exciting that not very many people know about is that in 2005, Dr. Register came to us and said, I'm losing about 49% of my new teachers within the first 3 years. And he said the pattern is they get their teaching certificate, they get a job, they get married, they have a baby, they quit. And he said, so I've been doing a lot of exit interviews, and he said, I found out that if I were to provide childcare on site at the school where they're teaching, they said they would stay.
So Chambliss has established childcare centers for teachers at 9 different schools, and they're planning more.
We started a program in Normal Park, and actually the principal there, Jill Levine, her two sons were in our program.
Although Chambliss began as an orphanage, it's very different today. Bedrooms have been refurbished into classrooms, and only a handful of children actually live here. Those residents are teenage boys, and they have small, Spartan-looking rooms in one of the newer adjacent buildings. The boys aren't orphans. Orphanages don't really exist anymore. The boys are just here because they need a place to stay because of family problems. The executive director of the residential program is Liz Blasberry, and she shows me one of the boys' rooms, which is just large enough for a bed and a couple of other pieces of furniture. Some of these boys were brought here after Child Protective Services removed them from their parents. Others arrived here through the court system. Blasberry tells me the goal is to keep these boys here only temporarily.
Our main goal is to reunify families back together when it is safe and possible. So, and if it's not safe for them to go from where they came from, what home they were coming out of, it's to look at other options. It's to look at other family members, friends of the family. We know that long term, a child's going to be better off if they're placed back in a family where they know the people instead of with strangers. But obviously, if there's no option there, then we can also look at foster care because we have a foster care program as well.
None of those teenage boys are actually here right now for me to talk with. They're all off at school. But there are some more preschoolers to see. In another building, they're racing around in a gymnasium. It's a rainy Monday afternoon, so the playgrounds outside are closed. The kids are enjoying some indoor exercise. They race big wheels and other pint-sized plastic cars across the tile floor. Many of the preschoolers crowd around me, fascinated by a reporter wearing big headphones and pointing a microphone around the room. One of them smiles for my production assistant. Her name is Ewan Liu, and she's taking photos. Mostly, these preschoolers are too shy to say very much, but they do keep coming up to me. Leslie Berryhill explains why. It's something that never would have occurred to me.
About 80 to 82% of our kids are living at or below the poverty level. And about 80% of these kids are coming from single-parent homes, most of which are single mothers. So you may notice that you've got kind of a gaggle of kids around you. Sometimes there's not a lot of males in their life. So when we have male volunteers or guys that come take a visit, like, the kids really will take a shining to the guys.
Over the years, Chambliss has received national attention as a successful, sustainable model for early childhood education. The center's teachers and staff hope to do even more. They want to expand their educational services, bring in more children every day. More than 300 children are on a waiting list right now to get in. So with those goals and other goals in mind, they've begun a $5.5 million capital campaign. CEO Phil Acord says they've done a feasibility study and determined $5.5 million is attainable.
You know, we have been a faithful provider of services for 143 years. People know who we are. They know what we do. They know we do it well. And that's the type of thing you want to invest in. And they do understand it's an investment. You know, they're not making a donation here. They're taking their money and investing it in us so we can invest it in the life of that child. So hopefully that child will be successful.
For WUTC, I'm Michael Edward Miller.